Drive a couple hours north of Phoenix and you'll hit the mile-high city, Prescott, with its charming western center and a landmark backdrop of Thumb Butte, a mountain named for its distinct thumbs-up shape. You can't see it on a postcard, but at the base of that butte is a house, and not just any house.
This is the tallest house in the world.
That's the architect Sukumar Pal, who believes his home takes the cake on height, towering over the pines at 124 feet. To put that in perspective, Niagara Falls is just 43 feet taller. Now he's selling the house. The show's Annika Klein finds out why it was built in the first place.
I've actually known this house's tall frame for a while. I used to live in the neighborhood. Sometimes we'd take visitors up the road just to look at it. The sand-colored tower stretches into the air. In the middle, glass rooms jut out on all four sides. It's more like a lookout post than a house. I had no idea who lived there or why they built it. I learned it's called the Falcon's Nest, and that I wasn't the only one who stopped by and wondered.
They stand there for a long time.
Sukumar Pal not only designed the house, but used it as a second home.
Busload of school children all looking up and seeing what is going on.
Sometimes he offered tours to passerby. Today, we're meeting in his Phoenix home, also self-designed, though this one's only 3 stories tall. On the wall is a large framed photo of the Falcon's Nest.
That elevator goes from ground zero.
He explains what's inside the different levels and how you get to each.
And from there, the spiral staircase starts.
From Paul's living room window at the nest, Thumb Butte doesn't look like a thumb, like it does from a distance. You can see the individual crags in the rocky outcrop, the fingerprint of the thumb.
And the narrow tower, it is an observation tower.
I've always wondered what the really tall, almost spear-like structure is on the very, very tip.
Oh, that spear is a very important item, which is lightning rod.
Oh, it's a lightning rod. Okay.
This building is hit continuously during the rainy season.
But why build something so tall it needs a lightning rod? Well, the view, for one, but Paul says it wasn't just that.
I needed the tower. Number one reason was passive solar energy.
Passive solar energy meaning using sunlight without help from something like a solar panel or a pump or fan. The height itself takes care of most heating and cooling needs.
Natural ventilation. Thereby, there is a current of air without any energy.
And without any energy bills either. Paul was so passionate about this green design that he submitted a building permit in the early 90s for a home unlike any other in the area. But not everyone was so thrilled. The city argued this building would not meet code. That's when Paul went to City Hall.
The city itself failed to read their own code book.
He was very creative in how he read the codes, and he found those spaces where we didn't realize there were gaps, and he maneuvered through them.
George Worley is the city planning manager. It gets technical here, but basically the code had some gray areas, like defining the maximum building height by stories, not feet.
There are partial floors which the building code considered mezzanines and didn't count towards the number of stories.
Cooling tower is exempted. Observation tower. Exempted.
It was a lengthy battle, and the tower is evidence of who won. But even though Worley agrees the building is fascinating, he says codes are there for a reason. People want to know what to expect when they move into an area.
Much of the neighborhood around him was up in arms because they didn't want anything that tall.
How come everybody is building 35 feet tall home, and that man is building 124 feet tower?
Paul says, because he didn't want to be like everyone else.
I have to get it done, not only because nobody did it before, but it has got some benefit and advantage and lessons.
The city learned a lesson, too. They adopted a new code in 2003 that really cleared things up. No more houses in Prescott can go to new heights like this one. But the nest will not be knocked down. Paul is selling it for $1.5 million. He imagines the buyer will be someone who appreciates the architecture, and doesn't mind getting a few curious visitors now and then. For the show, I'm Annika Klein.
And you can check out photos of the Falcon's Nest online, theshow.kjzz.org.